Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's going on? What's going on? Nacho in the Box Sports Radio Show. What I got going on today is we're going to be covering NFL offseason and what's been going on in the NFL offseason. This is the low period. This is the slow time. The a lot of rumors, speculation, things like that with the draft nearing close. We can see pretty much in flux until the season starts when players get dropped and things of that nature. But right now it's kind of a slow time, but just going to go over some of the top stories in the past and even some from today. There are some trade rumors from a top five position. We'll get to that if we got some chances. What I really want to get to real quick off the top, we all know all the way through and through. If you are a Jeopardy fan, May 12th, Celebrity Jeopardy will excuse me, guys. The Shark Tank, the show Shark Tank on ABC, and there will be one more celebrity guest on May 12th in Jeopardy. He wears the number 12 for the Green Bay Packers. He is Aaron Rodgers. I'm kind of excited to see this, see how smart an NFL quarterback goes up against someone who's a multi-million dollar entrepreneur and a retired astronaut, you know. So that'll be fun to watch, you know. If you like Jeopardy and you like quarterbacks, why not watch the best quarterback in the NFL go on Jeopardy, you know? When we start talking about these teams, and I'm just going to dive right into Dallas, and I know this is probably not what everyone wants to hear because Dallas is on everyone's wavelength, but I think with the phone call, Tony Romo called into a Dallas local radio station. They don't pay me, so I'm not going to plug them. Into a local Dallas station, he said that DeMarco Murray actually came up to him and asked him to take a pay cut. And for a week, you know, he said for about a week there, DeMarco Murray was worried about that situation. If Tony Romo was willing to take a pay cut, Tony Romo said, "I'm willing to take a pay cut. That's not the issue." Then jokingly said, "Okay, we can be friends again." So as it pertains to that situation, I think that goes to prove how devalued the running back position in Dallas and to Jerry Jones really is. The fact that you've got a guy who totes the ball 300 and something times a year, takes the ball out of your the quarterback who I might add is an accident waiting to happen. So what's the best way to, you know, counteract the accident waiting to happen? You take the ball out of his hands. And for the past 3 years, it has depleted 100 times. 100 times Tony Romo has thrown the ball. I believe it was over 600 times in 2012, 500 times last year. It's gone down 100 passes each year. And look what they've done. Winning the division, making the playoffs, and winning a playoff game. Whether you want to call it on one play or not, they still won the divisional game or the wild card playoff game. So how devalued that is, I think it's plain to see. If Romo is coming out now and saying he'll restructure his deal, he would have restructured his deal, took less money, what have you, to keep DeMarco Murray, then this all falls on the shoulders of Jerry Jones and his general management skills. Whether or not you like DeMarco Murray as a running back, 1,800 yards, 300-plus carries, you can't deny what he did on the field for them, taking the ball out of the accident waiting to happen's hands and giving it to him. Say what you want about the fumbles. Say what you want about anything else. They were in a position in the divisional game to beat Green Bay, although to a rule they were not able to score a touchdown. You know, we can get into the end-all, be-all, how much time was left on the clock, and did he really think that they could have stopped Aaron Rodgers from, at minimum, scoring a field goal. that's neither here nor there. Hindsight's 20/20 when it comes to that perspective. But as far as DeMarco Murray got them, taking the ball out of Tony Romo's hands, I think that was the most telling sign out of Dallas, was Romo saying he would have cut money for Murray. And the most telling sign now is that he is going to restructure. You know, the outlets, the sports centers, the NFL networks are saying he is going to restructure to make way for Rolando McClain and Greg Hardy. I'm going to repeat that one more time. They won't do anything for Andrew Jones and but with guys come in and stay healthy. If you can get Darren McFadden to stay healthy for 16 games, and with that offensive line, it may not be that hard. But if you can get him to stay healthy for 16 games and put up, you know, 250 to almost 300 carries, he will be one of the top leading rushers in the league. Maybe not the leading rusher when Adrian Peterson returns. But Darren McFadden's got skill set. The problem with Darren McFadden is he can't stay on the field. So, expecting Darren McFadden to be in that perspective, you know, stay healthy enough. Dallas accident waiting to happen. This just spews more and more out how much they devalue the running back. And how much they are going to go for running back in the draft, in my eyes. I think they take that first-round pick, and whoever's there, either Gurley or Gordon, and they pick him. I think that's what they're going to do. And the devaluation of this position boggles my mind. Seven. That's the caller number. If you want to talk about the offseason and what have you, maybe we'll get to the draft. But, you know, what does this spell for the Cowboys? If you want to call in, like I said, 347-426-3297. That's the call-in number. Give me a call-in. Does this spell doom for Dallas? They're going to get a running back and ball in Romo's hands more. I'm going to talk about something else, you know, Eagles, Redskins, Giants, anything else in the NFC East. I'm fine with that. Call in, push the number one, get in here. If I don't see anyone calling in, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to the next one. If you're listening and you do want to call in later, like I said, just went over the fact that Romo said he would take less money. He actually told Murray to his face he would take less money or restructure his contract to keep Murray there. And now the talks today are that he will do that to make money for Greg Hardy in the event that he's not suspended or what have you, and he's able to get paid. Accident waiting to happen. Go into beat out by Derek Carr and. Now he plays for the Baltimore Ravens, backup quarterback to Joe Flacco. I'm talking about Matt Schaub in a recent interview. Again, they're not paying me, so I'm not giving them any credit. A lot of football left in me is the quote he says. Matt Schaub, quit your line. You better stop it right now. You are a clipboard holder for the rest of your career. You're just making money. You're getting a $3 million deal to hold the clipboard. Joe Flacco, I don't believe he's missed a game. He's durable. He's going to be out there all year long. And even if he does go down, they're not going with Matt Schaub. I think they're using him more for his experience. He's got a lot of experience in this league. He knows defenses and things like that. He knows how not to throw the ball to them. So, I mean, you get him in there and you let him go and you show that how to do it. I mean, I don't understand what the Ravens are doing. Why would you do this? This makes no sense. I don't even think he's a really good clipboard holder. He probably dropped that or give that to the team, to the other team I don't even know, man. He's just a waste of a roster spot. Why would you even attempt to put this man on your team? I'm downing him. I'm dogging him. I don't care. The guy's worthless. Does nothing in Texas. Does nothing in Texas and Houston. Has a great team. Gets injured. Has T.J. Yates come in and win him a game, and then he, fumbles it off and loses. As it pertains to Matt Schaub in the next round. So, the dude's a waste, man. Why would you even put him on your team? If someone, like I said, if someone's listening, 347, 426, 3297, tell me why Matt Schaub's on a team. Why? And not on a team, the Ravens. This is a team that does not need a quarterback, does not need backup quarterbacks. Their quarterback's healthy. And of all the people to put on your team in this league, I just don't know. I'm to pick up Matt Schaub on your team, and to hear this guy talk about, I got a lot of football left, like he's gonna see the field, like he's gonna. What to give him? One year, 1 million guaranteed, 2 million to the cap, and he's gonna get 2 million cash, so $2 million to hold your clip. I mean, this is what is it when you've got Michael Vick and you've got Matt Flynn, you've got Carson's little brother Jordan, Case Keenum. I mean, all of these guys be better backups than. About that, got interested in a live show there. Live show, Blog Talk Radio. What happens? We all see it. We've all listened to these casts before. Sometimes things just go wrong. Sometimes just things don't go right. But I'm back now. Again, the call-in number is 347-426-3297. I'm talking NFC, NFL offseason. What's on your mind? If you want to call in and talk about the offseason, you want to call and talk about your team and what they're doing, what they're not doing, anything you want to talk about, 347-426-3297. Tweet me at Nacho in the Box, NachoInThaBox. Tweet me a question. You got a question you want me to answer. You got a comment. You got a reasoning on why Matt Schaub is a Baltimore Raven and why they decided that they should pay him $2 million to sit behind Flacco, when God forbid Joe Flacco has to sit out a game or two, and you got to put pick six McGee in there, and it's week 10, you're in the heat of a playoff race in the AFC North, and you've got to put in like I said out there against God knows who, God forbid Steelers or even the Bengals. I mean, just why? Why would you put your team in this kind of situation? And I understand that Joe Flacco's never been hurt. I understand that they're going to be fine with Joe Flacco through the year. Most likely he will play all 16 games. But your backup quarterback is Matt Schaub. And in this league where quarterbacks go down, where quarterbacks get hurt, where anyone at any given time can miss 2 to 3 games because of a BS concussion, think about this. Baltimore Ravens fans, if you lose Joe Flacco for 2 games, pick six McGee as your effing quarterback. Come on now. It doesn't make any sense to me. It doesn't. He doesn't do anything for me. I mean, if someone can defend Matt Schaub and what he did in Houston, which was get injured and let T.J. Yates win a playoff game, come in and lose one, then you can tell me that he deserves to be on a team. But Matt Schaub, to me, doesn't deserve to be on a team. Move on from this topic. I want to touch on something real quick. This is a little off the field. Today is April 1st. Today is April Fool's. We all know, today is a day to have fun, to make a joke. Greg Jennings, former Green Bay Packer, Minnesota Viking, a free agent wide receiver, went on Facebook. Put a video, said, people want to know where I'm going, So we're going to tell him. He had his kids tell him. And they said April Fool's. That's a good joke. That's wholesome. That may get a laugh. That gets people to watch, you know. Bruce Irvin, you're a fucking idiot. Faking a DUI as a joke, for one, isn't funny. For two, in a league where DUIs are no joke, and in the last 2 to 3 years, a teammate has killed another teammate due to a DUI, due to driving under the influence. And number three, you're going to backlash and say to my 12s and my West Virginia University fam, I'm sorry, that's all that matters. No, how about all the DUI victims that have been through over the past since, you know, cars were invented? You owe them an apology. To joke about something so serious, so severely serious, is beyond stupid, beyond the R word. It is beyond everything and anything ignorant you could possibly do. I'm sorry that I am taking this to this far, but to sit there and to joke about having a DUI, getting arrested, and telling your Seahawks family that you're sorry that you had a few drinks and went out for a drive and got a DUI is not funny. It's not a joke. It's not April Fool's. It's not. There's nothing you could do to this man. He wants to make poor decisions in what he tweets. He wants to make poor decisions in what he thinks is funny. That's his prerogative. I'm not saying you suspend this man or fine this man. I'm not going that far. But the stupidity, the dumb factor that is in these tweets, that is in these April Fool's quote-unquote jokes. Come on, man. You Super Bowl champion, bro. Act like one. You want an April Fool's? April Fool's, you got traded. April Fool's, you bought a new house or something. April Fool's, something ridiculous. April Fool'sing, you got a DUI? Get the fuck out of here, man. Bruce Irvin, you lost my respect. And Bruce Irvin, you're a piece of trash. Plain and simple. And I'm taking it that far. On to the next topic. You know, don't want to stay negative anymore. We'll go into a little bit of the draft. I got through 20 minutes of NFL offseason talk before I decided to to completely destroy someone's character. But, you know, when you're an idiot, sometimes you got to get destroyed. Let's move on to the draft and the overall number one, consensus number one pick in Jameis Winston. I've heard some interesting things over the past 48 to 72 hours since before and after his pro day. We all saw the John Gruden, Jameis Winston interview in the room that John Gruden does his interviews in on ESPN. I heard the word trust a lot, and I like that. The fact that he used that word a lot, it definitely. Sorry about that. The fact that he used the word trust a lot and that he said he had to trust a lot of his teammates this year and talking to the younger kids and just letting them know, hey, I trust you. You know, we're here together. This is us. This is what we do. It really kind of lets me know a little more about this guy, Jameis Winston, how he is mental. The thing is when people talk about him and, you know, whether, you know, the first overall pick is in question, I don't think it's in question at all. I think Tampa Bay is going to pick them. Now, the secondary to that is he going to be, you know, a good football player, a great football player that faces the franchise? And is he going to be someone who's detrimental to the franchise in the off-the-field issues and this and that? I think off-the-field issues isn't even a question. The kid was young. And the thing is, when you're that young and get that blasted and have grown man after grown man after grown man and grown woman after grown woman telling you how idiotic and stupid and ignorant and dumb you have been and your off-the-field issues on national television over and over for the past 2 years, I think that's changing him. I think that straightens up a guy. He's getting older. He pretty much was almost, to the extent an NFL quarterback in the media. He was getting coverage every week. He had media appearances all around him. He was the closest thing to an NFL quarterback at the college level as it pertains to the media coverage he got that I've seen since probably a long time. So and that was, all of last year and the year before. So I think that now, just getting your name run through the mud and the muck for so long, you have to straighten out. You don't want that again. And I think what he's done is, he's done a great job in the NFL or in these past few weeks. Sorry, I say the NFL, I mean the preemptive NFL, the combine and the things in the interviewing sessions and things like that, and the media conferences and the pro days. He's done all very well in his interviews and all that stuff, and to say the right things. But I think the biggest thing is that I heard was he's going to be a quarterback all year long. Throughout his entire college career, he was a quarterback for the college football season, and then he was a baseball. He was a baseball player, outfielder, and a pitcher. We all know the mechanics of throwing a football and throwing a baseball are 180. You're going to have to do different things. So I think now that he has spent this entire time, and now he's going to spend the entire time of a full calendar year being a quarterback, not being half a quarterback and half a pitcher and an outfielder, this is going to benefit him. His weight, his mobility, being able to move and throw on the run are all going to get better in my eyes. Being able to the in-the-pocket stuff to me isn't an issue. He's going to be able to command the pocket and do those things inside the pocket. Getting outside the pocket, throwing on the run. Now, this is the thing. Getting outside the pocket and running, the mobile quarterbacks can do that. The bigger question is, can they be in Rodgers? Can they be in Luck's situation where they're outside of the pocket, but they're not moving forward at all? They're about 5 yards outside of the pocket, running sideways, throwing 20 to 40, 50 yards down the field. That's the question. We all know Jameis can get outside the pocket. He could get us a good 10 yards if he needs to. If there's open field, he can get us a first down and run for it. Can Jameis get outside the pocket, have a linebacker on spy, not be able to run, and throw a pass down the field on the run accurately? That's what I think is the biggest question in Jameis Winston on the field, and I think he's going to answer that. He's going to be able to work on that and do that for a full calendar year. Do I expect him to be able to do it by the beginning of next season in the Tampa Bay uniform? No. Come on now. He's going to be a rookie. This is the NFL we're talking about. He's not going to be playing against Duke. He's not going to be playing against North Carolina. He's not going to be playing against these teams. He's going to be playing against NFL caliber teams. So he's going to have to work on that. I think he will. I think that, I think it's great that he's got a very short-term memory. We've all seen the first half interceptions, turned around in the second half and played tremendous, winning games, losing only one in his entire college career, and having 65 touchdowns and 28 interceptions, you have to have a short memory. In his college career, 40-10 the first year, 25-18 the second year. That's what I mean. You go 25-8 the second year in your college career after a Heisman Trophy and a national championship, and you lose one game in the college football playoffs. I mean, as much as I down the guy on the field for his, decision-making sometimes, the guy is a proven winner, and he can overlook what he's done in games as it pertains to the bad things, interceptions, fumbles, losses of yards, sacks, things like that, and move on. And I like that about him. I just need him to make – needs to know that trying to – a Duke where you can come back. You're not playing in North Carolina where you can come back in the second half. So I just wish – and I hope in the pros, he does what he did in college, but better decision-making. That's it. He's got it down. He knows how to play this game. Just the decision making. He's got a lot of trust in his players, and to a fault, I think he's got too much trust. And that's where I think the interceptions came in from. And trusting himself is not a bad thing, but too much trust in yourself, overconfidence in yourself and your players leads to 18 interceptions and only 25 touchdowns your season, your second year, after a 40-10 the year before. I'm just saying you have to think about, you know, your decision-making when it comes to the NFL more in the college game, because you can overcome some two or three interception first halves with excellent second halves in the college game, and you can't do that in the pros. So I just think he needs to, you know, just work on that. And like I said, trust. The biggest thing is with him I liked and I heard was trust. He has a lot of trust in his players, and that's going to be the one big thing when you're a college player coming into the pros. You have to trust that everyone's there for you. And I think the biggest thing is sometimes these college quarterbacks come in and they don't trust their teammates as much as they should. And I think that he used that word so much in that Gruden camp thing, the Gruden in the film room with Gruden, used that word so much. I think that whichever team he lands on, they're definitely going to be happy, and he's definitely going to be trustworthy and trustful into his players, and I think it'll work out. On to the next draft topic, and this is something I read on Twitter. I have not gone to Bleacher Report and read Jason Cole's article quite yet. And this is interesting. But the Oakland Raiders are sitting at number 4. And you know, I think that, sorry, I was reading something. The tweet read as follows: Raiders looking to trade up for Williams or down for Cooper, per at Jason Cole. So, when you think about that, the Raiders, you know, and you got most mock drafts saying that they're going to take Kevin White. When Jason Cole says something like trade down for Cooper, trade down to where? You know, I think if Cooper's there at 8, 7 with the Bears, where do you trade down to if you're the Raiders? Now, up to Williams makes sense. Down to 5, what would Redskins want, you know, at 4 with one? So I just don't see, you know, if someone can explain to me how trading down to get Cooper would be wise for the Raiders. If I've got any Raiders fans listening, 347-426-3297. If anyone's got any, you know, things on why the Raiders should trade up for Williams or down for Cooper, and up for Williams makes sense. You want to put a pass rusher like Williams with Khalil Mack? Yeah, boom. Boom, boom, boom. I'm not against it. But down for Cooper, where, how, and why? If you're at 4 and Cooper's there, you have to take him. Going down, he's not going to be there wherever you go down to. So I don't know the much validity in that Jason Cole article. But, you know, It's gonna be interesting to see. You know, already we've got the Raiders with trade rumors, which is obviously not any news. You know, Raiders trading and making moves on this day of NFL drafting is not a biggest thing. So, Tony Romo has a new deal. Breaking news, I believe. Let me get all the details here. I want to get this right. This is some breaking news going on right here. I think if read that correctly. I don't want to be wrong because I hate being wrong. But let's see here. Sorry guys, I'm getting a little I read something online right now and I thought somebody had gotten a contract renegotiation thing going on. The tweet read, and I'll go to the tweet right now, and I don't know if this is a big deal or where's it at? ESPN Stats and Info 2 minutes ago tweeted out Tony Romo's salary cap hit in 2015 will be $14.97 million, 12th highest amongst quarterbacks. Cap was going to be $27.77 million. Wow. So if anyone's got any clue as to what they mean by that, did he get a contract extension, renegotiation type of things? I don't know what's going on. But you know, if that's the case, you know, why wouldn't you do that to, you know, for DeMarco Murray? Why wouldn't you do that, you know? I don't know. It's just weird to me that you would not try to at least, you know, do something. Okay, here we go. I'm just gonna read this out for you. Tony Romo said, "I'll probably do a restructure here shortly." Mike on Instagram today. So as far as a pay cut, I mean, I don't think that's a big deal if they have to come for me for that. So listen to this. After restructuring, would convert $16 million of Tony Romo's original $17 million salary into a signing bonus, thus reducing his cap figure from a 27.7 to a 14.9. As part of the extension Romo signed in 2013, the ability to restructure is built into his contract if the team opts to make the move. The team does not cut him a signing bonus check in what amounts to an accounting move for the salary cap purposes. The move will create $12.8 million in cap for the Cowboys to fit the 1 year deal agreed to by linebacker Rolando McClain, as well as enough money to account for the per game roster bonuses totaling close to $8 million in the 1 year deal signed by the defensive end Greg Hardy of the team's and the team's seven draft picks. According to ESPN Stats and Information, the Cowboys have roughly $1.98 million in cap space between space before McClain signs his deal. While a Romo restructuring will give the Cowboys some flexibility this season, it will add $3.2 million to the cap figures from 16 to 19, $28 million in 16, $24.7 in 17, and $25.2 in 18, and $23.7 in 19. So pretty much was. They said, DeMarco Murray, you want to get paid? Fuck you. Bye. Greg Hardy, you want to beat your wife? Oh, you can get the quarterback? Okay, come over here. We'll pay you. Rondo McClain, you're injury prone and aren't worth shit. We'll pay you too. Go ahead, Tony Romo, accident waiting to happen. Because we gave the running back who just left over 300 carries and gave you the ball less times, we've had the best record and won a playoff game. That actually meant something, and we're close to winning a second one. But you know what? Don't restructure for him. We're going to restructure for the woman beater and the guy who can't stay healthy. That's what we're going to do. Dallas Cowboys, you guys are fucking idiots. End of that. Let's see here. I think I've pretty much gone over everything that I wanted to go over today. I didn't really have too much other than that. If there's anything you guys want to talk about, and I got any listeners out there in the Twitter land, you got any tweets you want to ask me, I am open for, you know, anything you want to ask or what have you. But like I said, man, just this is the slow season. This is the slow time. It's going to be a lot of rumors. It's going to be a lot of hearsay. It's going to be a lot of conjecture. But we all know about rumors and hearsay and conjecture. They all start from a little bit of the truth. So don't as wide based as ludicrous, as preposterous as it may sound as a trade or a signing or what have you. Don't overlook everything and don't just pass everything off as, you know, non-existent. Things will happen. There will be times this offseason where we're going to hear some trades. We're going to hear about some things. And we're going to be a little hesitant to... to think that these things will come to fruition, but crazy things have happened, crazier things have happened. So just know that this is the time of year that nothing is too crazy and everything is too crazy. We're going to see a lot of crazy stuff, but there's one thing you won't hear or see crazy stuff from, and that is my Green Bay Packers. And I know I'm going to get a little homer here, and I'm going to get a little irritated, but we have received some free agency draft grades in the A-minus, A-plus area for re-signing Randall Cobb and keeping Brian Bulaga and keeping other players and things of that nature. What the fuck ever, dude. We cut A.J. Hawk. We released another linebacker. We can't stop the run. B.J. Raji's coming off of health issues. Julius Peppers, as great as he was in 3 or 4 to maybe 10 plays last year, he is not the end-all, be-all at that position. Having Clay Matthews play 4 to 5 different linebacker positions, I know there's not 5, but, you know, 4 different linebacker positions is not the answer. If we don't fucking do something about this linebacker position in the draft, in free agency, in something, we need to get defensive linebacker and defensive lineman help. I agree with what they do. I love my team. I know it's very mundane the way we go at free agency. We don't necessarily like to pay people that are not currently on the Packers roster. So I got a tweet here from Tremaine, you know, pretty much saying the same thing. They never valued Murray. They basically saying we could draft one and we're not paying you $9 million. That's pretty much exactly what they said. And you know, like I said, you're willing to do it for, you know, and I may be taking the extremes here, but a woman beater and a guy who can't stay healthy. Like, you're going to pay these two, but the guy who toted the rock for you, and you could say what you want about DeMarco Murray's first 3 seasons, I don't see him being on the bench once last year. I don't see him unhealthy once last year out of the 300-and-something carries. And I believe everyone, including myself, was saying, give that man 300 carries, and he's not going to last the whole season. He proved everyone wrong, and he shut up the Dallas Cowboys. So it's going to be funny when he plays the Cowboys next year, and he shows them that O-line helped him, but he's still pretty good. I don't necessarily think, you know, Murray's the best running back in the NFL. You know, obviously the 1,800 yards was helped by that O-line. But to sit here and say what they're saying, essentially, by doing what they did and bringing in Darren McFadden, get the fuck out of here. You're going 8-8 again because you're giving it to Tony Romo. That's what you're telling me? You getting Darren McFadden, and you picking up Greg Hardy and signing Rolando McClain, you think you're going to get to the quarterback and you think Dez Bryant and Tony Romo going to win you games. Because you're not going to hand the ball off 300 times to Darren McFadden and whoever else they got back there. I think that O-line's great, but the O-line is great. And what I'm saying is if they were going to turn around and give those running backs 300, 400 carries split between all 3 or 4 of them, they could be a top-notch team. But they're not going to do that. I think what they've come to realize is with last year, they saw Tony Romo not make too many mistakes and have the highest passer rating. Exactly. It's just it's just one of those things where, you know, they would sit there and And we heard this morning, if you watched any of the social media or if you watched anything, we heard this morning Tony Romo say DeMarco Murray asked him if he would take a pay cut or restructure for him. And Romo said yes. So we all know that it was in Jerry Jones' court now. We all know that Jerry Jones was sitting in the front office saying, we don't care about the running back, Tony. We need to get to the quarterbacks. We need you to do what you did last year, which was lead the league in passer rating. You know, only playing 15 games, not as many. You know, Aaron Rodgers played 16 and was only right behind him. Got to get that in there. But I'm just saying, they really think that last year Tony Romo's production was Tony Romo when it wasn't. It was the fact that you gave the ball to DeMarco Murray over 300 times. The numbers are, the proof is in the pudding. 2 years ago, Tony Romo throws the ball, 600 times or whatever. Last year, the year before last, it was only like 500. Last year, it was only like 400. The passer rating gets higher. The losses get more, or the losses get less. The wins get more, and you make the playoffs. But of course, that's all Tony Romo. Cowboys are just, they're ridiculous, man. I don't understand it. And it'll really go to show if they don't pick a running back. If they don't pick a running back in this year's draft in the first round, like they don't get Gordon or they don't get Gurley and they go in the third round, fourth round, they get someone like, and I'm not knocking Abdullah, but like an Abdullah, then they really don't care about the running back position. They really think that their line can do whatever they want. But we all know the accident waiting to happen in Tony Romo. You give him the ball too many times. We know what could happen. We all know the 26-3 at halftime debacle against the Aaron Rodgers Packers 2 years ago. So we all know, and the Broncos game, throwing the interception to Trevathan, I think Trevathan. So we all know what happens when you give Tony Romo the ball at the end of the game. So there you have it. You know, if you're a Cowboys fan, I'm sorry, man, but you might be staring down the barrel of 9 wins because they're probably going to give the ball to Tony Romo more, thinking that last year was him. But, you know, the Dallas Cowboys are Dallas Cowboys for a reason. They make these calls and do these things because Jerry Jones is Jerry Jones. He's riding the high off of 3 Super Bowls in the mid-90s, and he hasn't come down since, so we can get into that discussion at a later date and things like that and to Jerry Jones's wrongdoings and right doings and what have you. But to sit here and devalue DeMarco Murray the way they did is just plain wrong. And like I said, to bring in someone who can't stay healthy and a woman beater and to pay them. And say what you want about Greg Hardy and his contract. If he's player friendly or it's franchise friendly, and if he's not there, whatever, dude, you're giving this woman beater a second chance to make millions of dollars. Cowboys, you're pieces of shit. That's plain and simple. When it comes to, you know, like I said, when it comes to Tony Romo saying he'd restructure his deal for DeMarco Murray, also that proves to me that Romo knows how important DeMarco Murray is. Romo knows that he needs him. So this all falls on Jerry Jones' shoulders. Anything that happens next year, the multiple interceptions, losing games on the shoulders of Tony Romo next year, all that will be on Jerry Jones' shoulder. I think if you're the Dallas Cowboys and you're a Dallas Cowboys fan and you see continually Tony Romo lose you games because Darren McFadden is injured and your running backs are nowhere near as talented as DeMarco Murray is, you only got one person to blame, and that's JJ. And I'm not talking Watt. So when we get to the draft here in the next couple weeks, I'm switching gears, getting off the Dallas Cowboys. When we switch gears here and talk about this draft, I got about 13 minutes left here. And, you know, there's a lot of speculation going on with Marcus Mariota and where he'll go, Randy Gregory and the weed and where he'll fall to. And I have to say that, with the exception of someone trading up into the top 10, Marcus Mariota will fall out of the top 10. I don't think any top 10 team wants or needs him on their team. So I believe unless a Philly or someone trades into the top 10 to draft him, he will fall out of the top 10. And then once you get into the pre-teens and maybe even 13, You got Philly staring down the barrel of an easy trade and not willing to not lose a lot, or not willing but ready to not lose a lot to get their quarterback in Marcus Mariota. So I think that, to be 100% honest, and I think this is the way it'll go, Marcus Mariota will either fall out of the top 10 and be an Eagle, or the Eagles will trade up into the top 10 and grab him. I don't see him playing for any other team than the Philadelphia Eagles. I don't know. Just the things that I've read and seen, and how much Chip is you know, claiming to be a mastermind. The only way Chip is a mastermind and able to pay off or do the things that he's saying he's doing, pay minimum, which would be flip-flopping your 20th pick for, if you can get into 10, 11, 12, or 13 range, and you're flipping those and giving them Sam Bradford for your quarterback, you're not even, you know. And that's even if he doesn't, you know, if that's even if they want to trade to get him. And see, I don't even know if there's a team out there, and this is a long shot, but that wants Sam Bradford. I mean, say there's a top 10 team that is infatuated with him, and regardless of his injuries, there, and we all know that, that front offices and coaches, they like to say, give me someone and I'll make them a star. If they've got that enough talent, you know, I'll turn them into a star. So I think, you know, who says that one of these top 10 teams, 11, 12, 13 teams, isn't looking at Sam Bradford and saying, let Mariota fall to me. I'll draft him. I'll trade you Mariota for Sam Bradford straight up. I don't know. I mean, like I said, everything right now is too crazy and not crazy enough. So there's something like that that can happen. But I do believe that Marcus Mariota is an Eagle, is in Eagle uniform, whether he's a starter or not by the season. That's, you know, whether to be seen. But I do think he gets drafted, if not drafted, traded to the Eagles before the first round is over. Now, as it pertains to Randy Gregory and the weed, we've been hearing it. Ex-NFL coaches, ex-NFL players, analysts, mock draft makers, saying this doesn't really hurt his stock that much. You know, Todd McShay said it really well, and he passed failed the double D test, you know. And I just don't think you know, and double D, dumb or dependent. You know, when you come in, are you going to be dependent or are you going to be dumb? If you're either one, if you're not going to be dependent and you're not going to be dumb, you know, both one of those. You know what I'm saying? You gotta not be dumb and be dependable. So he failed the double D test right now. He did a dumb thing, and on the outlook, he's looking at, you know, not being dependable by being suspended. So I think that teams look at that, but I don't think that's high on their level. I don't think that's high on there looking at it, because you can bring this kid and get him on programs. You can keep his money and everything and how much he is really worth to you lower. So I don't think that he drops too far out of the top 10, maybe, I think, 15. If he drops out of the top 15, I'm telling you right now, some team's going to be the happiest team that they've ever been in a long time. With this edge rusher, they're going to be happy. So, him falling out of the top 10, I don't see it. It's a possibility. The biggest surprise in the top 10 to me would be him going to the New York Giants. Randy Gregory to number 9, the New York Giants, would surprise me, just because of all of the stuff I hear out of Giants fandom and Giants camps that they don't like this. And what they did with Will Hill, I just don't believe that you know, they would want to put themselves in that position to where they have to make a decision on a talented player again and make the wrong one again. So, you know, it's a good thing. I know, I think he would be a good fit. I do like him there in New York. He would definitely be something I would like to see, but I just don't think that the front office in New York would want to invest a 9th-round pick in someone who might get suspended, and obviously they have problems with weed in themselves. So, but, you know, other than that, I don't see Randy Gregory falling too far. The talent outweighs the one dumb decision he made. So, moving on. We got about 7 minutes here. I'm just gonna get a quick thing. Boxing's back. This is the sports radio show. I did a lot of NFL stuff today. I'm just closing it out. But boxing's back. If you don't know, now you know. Al Heyman's got pro boxing championships. I think it is. PBC on Spike and NBC. And now, if you don't know, Top Rank has struck a deal with True TV. Boxing is going to be back. It's going to be in your prime times. It's going to be in your television. It's going to be in your homes. Get used to it. Get used to some of these names. Triple G, Amir Khan, Adrian Broner, Lucas Matisse, Provodnikov. Even with the 6 knockdowns, I think Algieri could still make a name for himself. There are names. Friday Night Fights was great. I loved it. But I think with NBC and Spike and True TV, they've got it there. So I think that that's going to be the new thing coming up. I will be breaking some news on a boxing show I might be on. I want to hash out all the details and get everything for you guys ready. I'm super ready for it. I want to do this boxing show. So we might get some breaking news here within the next week of a boxing show coming up. And it's going to be fun. I know we got the mega fight May 2nd and 3rd. That's for the casuals and things like that. But when you think about boxing and what it's been in the last 10 to 15 years, it hasn't been as mainstream as it was in the 80s and 90s, and it wasn't as big and this and that. It's going to be. Be prepared for it. It's going to be back. The UFC, I know, is making its way. It's doing its things, but boxing is going to be back in a big way. The sweet science, as me and my friends like to call it, Mike, host of 92.3 The Box, he really knows, you know, what it is. The sweet science of boxing is going to be back, and it's going to be liver than ever. We're going to have great matches. These promoters know what to do now. They're no longer making fights that are snooze fests. They are no longer making fights that are non-watchable. They're putting fighters together that want to fight each other, that want to get W's, that want to make names for themselves. And we're going to see some great fights here on out coming over this next year. So keep a look on out for Pro Boxing Championships on NBC and Spike TV. And like I said, Top Rank Boxing, they just signed a deal with True TV. Keep a look on our eye out for that. That's going to be fun to watch, man. And like I said, boxing is going to be back on the map. And when this so-called TBE retires, boxing is going to be great again. We're going to have more people to watch. We're going to have a lot of people, entertaining people to watch. And, you know, we're going to get these people that take too long to fight each other off our airways. Let them get their mega fight out of the way so we can enjoy it, so we can have it, so we can cherish it, so we can remember it. And then sit the fuck down and let these youngsters and let these young guns and let these triple G's of the world and these real motherfuckers that want to get in there and continue fighting and not fight once or twice a year. Let's do this. Let's get boxing back to the mainstream, back to where it should be. Boxing should be on everybody's TV. I'm glad. NBC, I love it. Let's get boxing back into these households. This is going to breed a whole new generation of boxing fans, and I'm excited for it. Not only are they going to breed a whole new style of fans, but it's going to breed a whole new diversification of fans, because we're going to have the Floyds and the Mannies retired, and we're not going to have to, and we're going to have that fight already done and gone. So the boxing world can focus on these real fighters that want to fight each other, that don't want to take 4 to 5 years to fight each other and put this boxing world in hiatus, so to speak. So it's going to be great to see Canelo, Cotto, and like I said, the list goes on and on. Middleweights, welterweights, lightweights, heavyweights, the heavyweight division. We got a heavyweight American champion. So let's do this. You know, let's bring it back. Boxing is going to be great. It's going to be amazing. Keep an eye out. Again, Nacho in the Box, Sports Radio. I love this. I love my fans. I love you guys. You guys are awesome. Again, Tremaine, thanks for tweeting in. probably, you know, one of my first guys to ever listen and tweet in. Thank you again for your questions and comments. You know, you're a great guy. Thanks for, you know, everything and laughing at me talking about these shitty Dallas Cowboys in their front office, you know. Tremaine Anderson, again, thank you. Thank you for listening. Everyone else who listened, tweet me at Nacho in the Box. Tweet me. Like I said, I'm on Facebook. I will be trying to do another show on Friday. Do the Final Four predictions, things like that. Maybe get some more NFL news in here and see what's going on throughout the rest of the week. You guys have a great day. I got a couple minutes left. If anyone wants to call in, we can get some calls in. No. All right, no calls in today. You know, again, flying by the seat of my pants. Thank you for listening. If you did, if you didn't, catch us on the podcast. Thanks for listening to the podcast for me blabbling it on for 59 minutes. So basically a rundown, what I feel for today, get it all out, get it all in. Winston, I have grown, he's grown on me. The things that he's done, I think he might do well in the big leagues. Raiders, trade rumors, what else is new? Jeopardy, like I said, Celebrity Jeopardy, May 2nd. You want to watch the best quarterback in the NFL take on Mark Riley, an ex-retired astronaut, and Kevin O'Leary from the Shark Tank. Aaron Rodgers, number 12, on the field, number 1 in the quarterback ratings and everything else. And Matt Schaub with the Ravens, still shitty. Pick 6 McGee is what I will call him from now on. I don't understand why you do that. I don't know. Maybe Matt Schaub and then Joe Flacco are friends, you know, and Joe was like, hey, you want to carry my bags? They'll pay you $2 million. And maybe that's what happened, but whatever. And again, April Fools, great day. If you're going to make jokes, don't be a moron. Bruce Irvin, come on now. Be smarter than that. Act like a Super Bowl winner. Act like a Super Bowl contender. And act like a champion. DUI jokes aren't funny, bro. All right, other than that, y'all have a great day. Thank you for listening. Y'all are the best. Nacho in the Box. My mouth is mud. Peace.